Hello, everyone. Y'all come on in. We'll get started today. I'll get my screens all pulled up. Q&A rocking. So if you are new to this call, this is Q&A and teaching with me on Wednesdays. So we don't pull anybody up live other than the coach who is going to be with you inside the chat and inside the Q&A. So let me get that going. Sorry, got a hair in my mouth. A big one. Today's Coach Kathy, so she will be in chat and in Q&A with everybody. And I've got my screen set. So today, let me pull up my notes. I gotta get my windows arranged. Here we go. So today we're talking about meeting your nighttime needs without food, which is a great topic. So I want to discuss a couple things about that. One, we are going to go over several reasons why you might be having nighttime meltdowns around food. There are some really good reasons why it is so hard for us when it gets past the workday or into the evening, why we would be turning to food. So for everyone, the one thing I want you to think about is if you are a nighttime eater, if this is when you quote unquote blow it or whatever, that this is not a problem. A lot of you want to say, my problem is nighttime eating. And the way that I look at it is if that sentence doesn't make you feel bad, it's fine to identify it as a problem. Someone like me, when like my definition of a problem is always, I love finding the problems because problems are the things I'm going to solve that are going to just make my life better, easier, or whatever. And so if you have a good attitude about problems, it's okay to say that. But a lot of you, when you think problem, you think, this is my unique failure. This is what makes me bad. This is something broken in me. If that's the case, then I do not want you to be calling it a problem. I want you to just start thinking about it as like, if we're going to be talking about nighttime eating, this is one of those things I'm going to solve. And when I do, on the other side of that, it's not just weight loss. On the other side of that is actually an improved life. I actually will feel better. So when we go over the reasons why we tend to have these nighttime meltdowns, it'll be really clear. The other thing I wanted to tell y'all is that I was having a fascinating discussion yesterday with my marketing team. They were here. If you don't know what a marketing team is, that is the people on my team who are responsible to make sure that you become a member. That's all they do. They are the ones that help me figure out what I'm going to say on social. They help me figure out what we're going to do in the podcast. Like they do all kinds of things. And we were talking about failure because one of the things that has to happen when you are a marketer is 98% of what you do is not going to work. I really want you to think about this. Like when you run a business, when you are a marketer or whatever, 98% of the time, things don't work right. They don't do the way you thought they would. They completely bomb. They half-ass work. They're like three quarters of the way there, but not all the way there. Like it is riddled with failure, riddled with it. So if you don't have a good attitude about things messing up, like if you don't have a positive attitude about that, I just told them, I was like, you'll fail. Like you'll fail out. You will quit. You will not want to keep going. That is like, I know y'all are not a bunch of business people, but I will tell you the number one reason why most businesses, online businesses like mine, end up failing is they can't take the failure that's required to succeed. So I was thinking about this and I was talking to them and I was like, if this isn't just like weight loss, I don't know what the fuck is. Because in weight loss, if you are going to do weight loss right, like really go in, really make this happen, you are going to fail so much and so often in order to figure out shit. Like the only way we know if we have nighttime meltdowns is what? Make some plans and not be able to follow the fuckers. That is a for sure way to know, like, all right, here's my area I got to work on. So now I got to figure out what goes on for me at night that causes me to eat, even though every day I go in wishing, wanting, hoping, praying, and planning not to do it. Like I got the big five working, Corinne. There's a reason. And we just have to find your unique reason. And then we have to like solve your unique reason. And then night times become a different experience for you. So I was telling them, I said, one of the, I was trying to explain to them, I was like relating something that they were working on to y'all. And I said, you know how it is with our women? I tell them, plan every day, no matter what, even if you are not following it, even if every night you melt down. The person who plans for 90 straight days will know by the end of 90 days, even if every single time it bombed, every time, the end of 90 days, they would know feelings that trigger them. They would know the foods that they lean on. So they might now know which foods they're ready to have in the house and which foods they're not, or which foods need to be put in a tougher position to get to. They would know all that. They would know if they're supported or not internally. They would know what their inner self-talk is. They would know if the next day they have the resiliency to keep going or if they beat themselves up so much they can't. Like at the end of 90 days, you would be in such a better position to solve what's going on than the person who did it right for 3 weeks and then quit, moaned around, avoided doing it because they're not doing it right, then pulled up their panties, tried again in like 10 days, did it a few more days, and beat themselves up again. Like, oh, here's what we do. When we don't do it right, we just quit. We stop the bleeding of feeling bad. I'm like, I don't want you to stop the feeling of feeling bad. You know what I want you to do? I want you to get in there because here's what I know. One of the best ways to make yourself change how you speak to yourself is to put yourself in a position every day to hear your bullshit. You quit planning, you can't hear your bullshit anymore. You don't have anything triggering your ne ne negative self-talk. So you don't solve it. All you do is hide from it until you're miserable with your self-talk about not being successful. Ain't that ass? You need to get doing something. So then you're so miserable beating yourself up for doing nothing, you start doing things again. And then you do things again. And then the second you mess up, because it's normal and there's good reasons for it, you beat yourself up. So you go back over here until that tide has risen. And so then you're just caught between two shitty options. And you never give yourself the middle ground. So for all of you, I want you to be thinking about this. The person who tries every goddamn day, no matter what, whether they like how they talk to themselves or not, if you're willing to go through the pain of how you talk to yourself and try anyway, you at least give yourself an option to say, like, man, if I'm not gonna quit trying to close my kitchen at night, if I'm not gonna quit trying to follow my plan every day, and I'm not gonna quit that, then there's only one way for this to work out better for me. I have got to quit being an asshole to myself. And then the second you refuse to do that, so your little shitty brain is like, I don't like what you did. You're such a failure. And he's just singing his little song. He reminds me of Mr. Peanut. I wish he had a little cane. He might as well have a top hat and a cane. Well, he comes on in like an asshole, and you are the one who's in charge. And you're like, no, like, I'm not quitting. So we might as well just stop all this nonsense going on in our head. Now, this is the thing. Your nonsense feels real. I get it. But if you're sitting here right now, I want you to think about this. When you're irrational, we just know that your brain is beating you up. And we also know It feels real in the moment. But we also know it is our brain talking. It is not facts. It is the one way your brain is trained to talk to you. So if that is absolutely true, which it is, then in the moment, you have to tell yourself, no matter how I'm feeling in this moment, there's a part of me that also knows because I was sitting on a call on a Wednesday with Corinne and I agreed that that stuff feels like shit, but it's not 100% true. The only way out is to get really good at hearing my shit. And then I gotta like be like, okay, we're done. We're kind of done. I feel bad, but I don't quit over this. And you do that over and over again. Then your self-talk starts to change. But you know how self-talk never changes? Through quitting. Self-talk never changes when you quit. It just subsides in the moment and it's laying there in wait. It is just laying there and waiting. So, like, you may quit trying your plan every day, making your plan every day, whether you follow it or not. You may quit trying not to eat at night and just give up. In an effort to not feel bad, except over here is your current weight, your dreams, and your goals. And they're just like, I cannot wait for a few days. They are just like, y'all, let's have a kumbaya. We're going to get in the huddle like we're in the middle of a football game, and we are going to strategize and figure out how do we make this bitch feel bad? We got like 2 days to figure it out. Let's go. And then after a couple of days, they're like, oh my God, those pants, I can't believe you wear them. You should just put on your muumuu. Oh my word. Did you even catch a reflection of yourself? Shit, you've really let yourself go. Like it's just laying there ready. You haven't solved a problem. So every time you quit, if you think quitting something is solving something, you say like, no, ma'am, it's not solving shit. I'm hiding. That might work, but I'm just literally setting myself up to feel worse later by quitting. Because all of you tell me anything that you stop doing in no BS, anything, how long does it take you to feel bad that now I'm not doing anything in no BS? How long does it take you to feel bad that you weren't following things and you quit? Not long, couple hours, 30 seconds, tomorrow, maybe a weekend. I'm struggling so badly on finding what needs I'm ignoring. This is very simple to figure out, Christina. Number one, Christina, tell me in the chat, how many times have you visited, asked coaches in the last 7 days? Tell me in the chat, Christina. Y'all always watch out once. Well, no wonder you're struggling. If you really want to figure it out, you can't go. You're like, it's a drive-by shooting. Here I am, I'm out. No drive-bys and ask coaches. You know what we do? We do it daily. Christina, tell me, do you think that if every single day you went to ask coaches and said, I tried again and here's what happened. I tried again and here's what happened. I tried again and here's what happened. What do you think would happen if you had asked coaches 7 days straight? Tell me in the chat. Tell me in the chat. What do you think would be different if you'd done it 7 days in a row? Now, I will say this, a lot of you won't do it, and here's why. Well, she said I would keep finding different ways to troubleshoot the problem. Yeah, because y'all's nighttime eating is going to take a lot of shit to solve. It ain't going to be like a one and done. Like, I don't even have my, oh yeah, I do. They ain't sitting there with a scepter. They ain't got no magic wands, and neither do you. Y'all are either going to have to start working for this or sitting back and bitching. Which life do you want? And this is the other thing. Every week I start with y'all on about 5,000 things I've thought about. instead of what my notes are actually. But we're going to talk about this too. Y'all are sitting around thinking that the hard part of losing weight is shit like, oh, I'm going to have to be hungry. I mean, shit, Corinne, who wants to be hungry? I don't know, the hungry squirrel, the one that wants to get a nut. That's who wants to be hungry. But y'all's ideas of what's hard is so fucking wrong. It is not hard to stop it enough. You know what's hard? To listen to your brain when you stop it enough. That part's hard. You know what's hard? Beating yourself up every day. Like the hard part of weight loss literally is not the things I teach you. It is just not. The hard part of weight loss is everything that you think while you're applying the techniques. Now, because there's like two kinds of hard. There's the hard of just conceptually understanding what we're talking about. And it's hard in the beginning to figure out like what are my unique hunger cues? What are my enough cues? Now, that is difficult, takes time, but can happen. But what makes it excruciating is when you take something that's just like learning some math, doing something that you've got to figure out for the first time versus being hard on yourself. If you all will start separating out, like, what is actually hard about weight loss? And you work with our coaches on the hard parts that are going on in your brain, you will not believe how much faster you'll lose weight. Because figuring out enough doesn't take a long time unless while you're figuring out enough, you're stopping and starting because you're hard on yourself. Then it becomes a long, arduous process. Making a daily plan every day is not hard unless you're telling yourself, I don't know what to eat and I'm so afraid of these foods. If you're allowing all of that shit to go on, then yeah, it will be harder. Following your plan, it's hard to learn how to follow your plan, but it's really hard when you quit making them and stop learning what's going right and what's going wrong. It's also really hard that every time you make a plan, you get down on yourself. You'll probably not follow this. This isn't good enough. You should have put other things on there. We have to figure out, like, where is the process hard for me? Because I can get help with that in coaches. You can, honestly, with the process part, you can get help with that in our Facebook group. Our members know how to, try new things, hack, baby step, and level up processes all day, every day, because they have the experience. But then you have the load of shit where it's like, I think I'm making like anything that you find hard in the basics would be really good to go to ask coaches and say, I was thinking about this part of the four basics. I'm making it harder on myself by thinking these things. If you would take that question to ask coaches, like, here are the things that I have found. This is how I think I might be making it harder. Then we can narrow down on one thing for you and we can go to work with you on it and ask coaches. Okay. So let's talk about nighttime eating, nighttime meltdowns. The first thing is there are a lot of reasons why we have these. So this is, I'm going to talk to y'all. Let's see, do I have, yeah, that's the one I also want. I just want to make sure all of the things in there. Nighttime eating, literally the way that I define it, is not just your 8 p.m. eating. It's not just what happens after dinner. It is from the time you would consider I get home or I start my evening. So if you work, we know when that is, like you're just coming home. If you have kids at home and you stay at home with them, it's that time where you feel like is about the end of the day Or it could be a like if you have a partner, if you're lucky enough to have a partner helping you with kids, then it's the time when they come home. It's kind of that whole transition period, okay? So the first reason why it could be hard at night is but we do something called rebel eating. And rebel eating is where you, it's like you feel as if you almost get mad at your plan, or you get mad that you have to stop eating, and something inside you is throwing like a teenager bitch fit. It's like, this isn't fair. Like, I don't want to be told what to eat all the time. Even if you're the one telling you, it doesn't matter. In your subconscious, I want you to think about like if this is you, let's pretend old shitty is our rebel. We'll put like a, I don't know, like a little, like a, what did, oh gosh. Ooh, all of our electricity is just flickering on and off. Sorry. What is it? The Bass Pro Shops hat? He's got a Bass Pro Shop hat on him. And now he's a rebel. Just, I'm a rebel. And so he's sitting there. And he's throwing shit at you like you don't want to be told what to do. Like you've had to give to everybody else today. It's just your time. Like whatever he is saying to you. The rebel comes out because you feel like when you are throughout your day, usually you feel as if you're being told what to do all day long. So a lot of times, it can come from like if you go to work and you just take it in the ass all the time, or if you're a people pleaser, a lot of people pleasers, even though they're the ones saying yes and everything, they don't feel like they can say no. So I want you to think about that. You know, people pleasers can say no, they just don't have the courage. Or they have a lot of fear around saying no. They're terrified of hurting people's feelings. Or they think no one will support them. So why bother? Like people pleasers often are some of the most rebellious eaters at night because they spend their day in this really real feeling story that I can't say no. Like these are the things I just have to do every day. And when you spend all of your time feeling like you don't have choice, you don't have opportunity, you don't get to do for you, you will want to eat at night as a sign of rebellion because it's the only time where you take back control. Now, your eating may feel out of control and stuff, but the decision to do it, it's like, this is the one time during the day I get to say no to something. Even if the thing you're saying no to is something at 8 a.m. you really want, and at 8 p.m. you're saying no to her. You're like, you can't tell me what to do. You don't know what kind of day I've had. You just don't understand. The other way that the rebel eating, if none of that necessarily resonates, rebel eating also happens this way. You may actually, you know, not be a people pleaser now, but a lot of rebel eating is stemmed from past diet trauma, especially in the youth. So it's very much rooted in our childhood experiences around food. So if you grew up like, for instance, like me, I grew up very overweight and very often being put on a diet. And, you know, like my mom didn't know that she, like, hell, we didn't even know about diet trauma and shit back in the 80s. She just thought, like, oh my gosh, she's getting bullied at school. And in her mind, my mom was just like, you know, she was divorced young with kids. And in her mind, she must have told me 1,000 times, as she told me one time, you're gonna have to find a good man. Because that's like in her mind, the only way for a woman to have any kind of financial security was to find a man and get married. Find a good man. And so I was kind of raised with that. And so when she would put me on diets, part of it was she was afraid I wouldn't be able to find a good man. Now I know that all of us looking back at 2024, we're just like, wow, Oh my God. Like some of us are angry about that stuff. I am not. I have a wealth of compassion for where my mother was coming from. At the time, I was angry. I've already spent my years being mad about it, but now when I look back on it, I have really, really thought about why would my mother act this way? Why would she say these things? Because her perspective was very different than mine. And so that brought me a lot of peace. But for a while, it was really hard for me to lose weight because I would get on a diet and stuff, and eventually I would want to rebel because I didn't want food taken away from me like it was when I was a kid. I remember times going out to eat and my brother being able to order dessert and stuff, and me not being able to order. If we were on a diet, I was told no. If we were off a diet, it was all like, eat all you want. But for a lot of people, for you, if you grew up and you were constantly having your favorite foods taken away, or you had a lot of restrictive rules, maybe you diet, as an adult, there is the rebel living in you. And then every time you are trying to lose weight as an adult, the rebel, now we'll just put like a, I don't know, what would a little, put like a little teenage outfit on this guy now. Pretend it's a little, a chick, and she's just wearing like her 90s, baggy jeans, like whatever decade you're in. Like for me, I would be just like she's got a, like, she's acting like she's gonna smoke a cigarette or something. Like she's just like, yeah, we're a teenager and we're just gonna sit here and not do what the people want us to do. So for y'all, for all of you, there's that person living in you. And then when you're trying to make your plans and you are doing the things in no BS, she's thinking somebody's trying to tell us what to do. They just want us to lose weight because they think we're fat. Like, whatever it is, you have to talk to that inner voice. Like, this is where we want to figure out if I've got a rebel in me, I've got to now start talking to that voice. So, when you make your plan each day, let's say, you are going to want to talk to that voice and say, now, I'm like the biggest, you know how the plan always asks, what's the biggest obstacle I'm gonna face today? You're probably gonna put my rebel voice. The biggest obstacle I'm gonna have tonight is the part of me that feels like she has to give, give, give all day and has no opportunity to tell anyone no. So if all I'm really looking for is an opportunity to voice, say no, it would be really good for me to do two things. Number one, tonight, don't tell myself no. Tell myself why we're going to say no to sabotaging our dreams. That our dreams are where we get to have some control and authority in life. We're not saying no to food, we're saying yes to our dreams. You have to think about what the rebel really wants. Then the other thing is if the big obstacle is going to be the rebel voice, the most important work to do is to take it to ask coaches about where do you feel like in life you have no voice? Because it's not with your food plan. You eating at night is the flare gun from the inside that's saying, I want you to start looking at your life. I want you to see, is there places where you can say no. You can ask for help, where you might not have to do it all yourself. That's what that voice is really, really trying to tell you. And that's why it's important that y'all are in no BS and not out in the cold world doing like Weight Watchers or some other bullshit program that doesn't address these things. Because what happens is when y'all want to try, going, let's just say we're gonna go count some points. We're gonna get the MyFitnessPal working again. We're gonna do whatever it is over here. Yeah, you count points and stuff. It'll tell you what you can and can't have at night. But do you think your rebel voice respects that? a day. You enjoy a good 3 or 4 weeks of success, and then bam, I'm coming for you. That's what happens. So don't fool yourself into thinking that you were going to get some kind of free pass and not work on all these things. All right, here's the next reason why we have a meltdown at night. Number two is comfort eating. Very similarly to the other, but are y'all have, hang on. Before I go on in this one, I'm gonna pause the recording. Okay, we got tech issues worked out. All right, so now we're gonna talk about comfort eating. Very similar to rebel eating. Like the rebel is like got a reason why the rebel's popping up, just like comfort eating has a reason why comfort eating pops up. So comfort eating at night is usually, it's like if we're eating at night, if you feel like you do not know how to soothe yourself, that is one reason why you'll want to eat. Soothing yourself would be like having a bad day, and the only way you know how to deal with it is by eating at night. And so, like, you just, the day is just terrible, shit's hit the fan, like, whatever. Or you're, it's not even like, an extraordinary day, but most nights you need comfort because you stay very anxious and jacked up all day long. Like, if you like, I always liken it to you're like my cat Nacho. Nacho probably could, Nacho needs Coach Kathy. Let's just be honest. Nacho's nervous system stays very dysregulated. He's a scaredy cat. Like he walks around this house as if if Cujo is around the corner all the time. Like he always is anxious and he looks that way and he will not let anybody pet him. Sweetest boy in the world. Very good cat. But he even sleeps in a little dark room all by himself. Like he just underneath a skee ball machine. Like he is just very like his nervous system is constantly stimulated. And so if during the day you are jacked up, like you worry about things, you I always call it like trying to read people's minds. You know, like you're always thinking, I bet they think this about me. I bet they think this about me. I bet they think this about me. I bet that means this. Chris, it's trying to do it again. Like that is someone who is going to come home at night. And then when you come home, when you have been riding high with cortisol and adrenaline, the stress hormones all day long, and not giving it a break, when you get home, that stuff dumps really fast. So I'll give y'all an example. When I do events and I stand on stage, this is a very common phenomenon for people who speak on stage or, you know, like do concerts and whatnot. They get jacked up. Like you, that's pretty normal. And their body, over the course of an event, it just keeps like, we need more cortisol. We need more adrenaline. We need more cortisol. We need more adrenaline because you want to do a good job and all these other things. So you got like thousands of thoughts flowing in your brain all the time. Well, it ramps up like a roller coaster. So I want you to think about your day. You wake up at the bottom end of it. You're down here and you strap in for the day. And if you are an anxious person who worries about what people think and all that stuff all day long, you're just asking your body to pump more adrenaline, more cortisol. Well, when your day ends, your body doesn't be like, oh, let's just slowly let it all out. If it did that, you would not be nighttime eating. But here's what happens. You get ramped up, and when you come home, it's just like going over the top on a roller coaster. Boom. And so you dip below the line. All of that adrenaline, all that cortisol comes out. It's kind of like, have you ever been really, really busy doing something? And then with like, you hadn't yawned, nothing. And then about 15, 20 minutes later, suddenly you're like, oh my God, I'm so tired. It's like it hits you how hard you've been working. It hits you how tired you are. That's the adrenaline and cortisol dump. So your body is terrible at letting it go. And so, like for me, when I used to do events, until I knew this, I just thought something was wrong with me. I would come home and it would make sense that I'd be tired because I'd been standing on stage for 3 to 5 days. And I'd come home and I'd go to bed. I'd be fine. Like, I just got to go to bed. Like, I just want to lay down. And it felt like I should. But I always thought the next day, it's like, well, we got to get back to work. Like, it's time to get back to work. And the next day, I would spend the entire day crying. Every little thing set me off. Like, it did not, I would get mad easy, all these things. Because I had dumped all of that, I was still trying to just get back to a working level of cortisol. So, rather than trying to force myself to keep working and stuff, I had to figure out, like, well, what is going on here? And when I realized I needed comfort, then I could figure out how to structure those days so I wasn't, fighting with my family, crying and eating for an entire day or two. So for you, when you are comfort eating at night, you have to think about what is it that I'm really needing? So there's a few things you can do. If you are a comfort eater, you can come up with a plan of how to deal with what I call a trough period. When it's only happening each day and you come home, rather than resetting back up with food, we have to think about what are our needs. What is it that we really need in those moments? Most of the time, it is some actual break. It is, and then that presents the problem of, can you take a break without feeling guilty or lazy or unproductive? Because if that's the case, then we know the next problem. So the first thing we have to do is we have to redefine rest to you. That it's not a weakness, it's not a burden. It is not a bad thing. So if you have the ability to get rest, we work on not only putting it in, but it has to be put in the right way. Otherwise, if all you do is lay there and beat yourself up for being lazy, you'll quit resting, you'll go back to doing, and then you'll be back to eating. So simply by looking at the reasons why we eat and talking about it, we start uncovering all of these things that we can solve. Now, this comes from, I will tell you, the people who continually make their food plan and then assess and do discovery worksheets find patterns faster and can overcome them faster than the people who do this. Make some plans when it's not perfect, give up, beat themselves up. Then get a restart, and like you're just trying to string together your highlight moments. It's like, if I could just get enough highlight moments together. No, that is not the answer to weight loss. That you're never going to have enough highlight moments to lose weight. No one is. The answer to weight loss is to have all the moments and see where am I really good and where do I have opportunities to fix my life in a way that makes me feel better long term. Because if I do that, I don't have to rely on the food to feel better anymore. So, with comfort eating, if you will, every night, try your best to not do it and give you and figure out, like, because I always find that the fastest way to figure out what's going on for you is to not eat at night and be miserable for a few nights and ask yourself, why am I so miserable? I am berating myself for this being hard. I am feeling guilty for actually giving myself what I need. It's hard for me because what I really need is to actually sit my ass down and I refuse to do it. So I'm trying to do work while also not give myself relief. Probably one reason why it's so hard. It's the way I'm talking to myself about it. Like, so all of those things can present when you're doing. Now, the next one is secret eating. So there is secret eating that we do. And this often happens at night. It can happen anytime during the day, but secret eating is where you are eating when everyone else has gone to bed. Like you're eating in secret. So some people actually go to a closet. Some people will go to their pantry. Sometimes I used to secret eat by when I first started losing weight, I was a big nighttime secret eater. And so I didn't really want to eat in front of Chris. Like it was very obvious that like I mean, I was over 250 pounds, but I didn't want to eat in front of him. So when he would take the baby upstairs, I would go ham on my ice cream. Because I didn't mind eating some stuff in front of him, but there was like two things. I didn't want him to see how much ice cream I would eat, but I just wanted me time. Like I didn't want to eat all the food in front of him because I wanted to be by myself because I was not by myself ever. So there's a lot of reasons for my secret eating. The culprits of secret eating are typically over dieting throughout the day. This is a big reason why a lot of people secret eat is they will be real strict, real strict, real strict, and they'll be telling themselves, like, I'm probably going to overeat tonight, so I better eat very little now to prepare for that. It's like, that's not the answer. I promise all of you, the answer is learn how to eat what you need throughout the day. You will probably still overeat at night for a little bit, but it's really hard to break any type of nighttime eating if you're going in with physiological deprivation on top. You are never going to cut out enough during the day to overcome frenzied, bingey, or secret type eating at night. No way. In fact, the more you cut back during the day, usually you can say, like, well, let's say you cut 300 calories during the day by like shaving off some stuff to save up. I would almost guess that you will eat three times that much because you'll be eating so fast and you will be eating so carelessly that you will triple what you saved. So just keeping that math in mind gives you something to refute when your brain is saying all day long, the answer to secret eating is to eat less during the day so that you can have all this at night. Because no, the answer is, don't over diet during the day so that when we get to where we are going to combat our secret eating, we're not also going in under fueled on top of under feeling. So the other thing about secret eating is a lot of people do the secret eating again because everybody else gets put first. So if you're someone who puts everybody else's needs above you, secret eating is like comfort eating. It is a pattern of eating that we have developed as a way to meet our basic human needs because we are not meeting them any other way. We are not meeting them because, like through boundaries, asking for help, prioritizing things. You know, women are notorious about making everything important and equally as important. You know, whether or not your towels get folded, the sink is clean every night, it's not as important as you getting a few nights a week where you can just decompress and not care. Like, are those dishes, are like, there's so many things that we do. It's like, are those things so important that it matters more than waking up every day disappointed again? And the only reason why you're disappointing yourself is not because you ate. You're disappointed, yes, because last night you ate, but you only ate because you're not getting your needs met. So we want to start really solving what's going on. Again, this is a great thing for you to take to ask coaches. It's like, eating, secret eating and comfort eating both are types of eating that is like you're signaling you have permission to rest right now. And any other time, you don't. And that's the problem we need to solve. Why Are we only allowing ourselves to have permission to rest is if we're eating, as if you don't deserve it for any other reason? That's something to take to ask coaches. So if you're just like, Corinne, you're speaking my language, like this is me. I have a really hard time putting me on the list. I feel very selfish if I put me on the list, if I do for me, if I feel guilty, if I'm asking my partner, my mother, my friends, anybody for any kind of help. If I'm at work, I feel really bad. If I need people to help me out, if I have to ask questions and stuff. We want to teach you how to give yourself permission to not feel bad about those things, to actually see that these are things that all humans need to do. We have to normalize these behaviors to you because for you, asking for help and all this other stuff is abnormal. It could be how you were raised. It could be what you were modeled growing up. It could be what society says about women. It could be a thousand reasons. We know a lot of that stuff and we can help you. But you have to use ask coaches to get it. Then the next one is deserve it eating. So a lot of us are eating at night because we are doing deserve it eating. And deserve it eating is just like it sounds. You deserve this because. So a lot of us, what we do is we say, you deserve to go out to eat tonight because you've had a bad day. And what we want to do is we want to reteach ourselves how do we want to treat ourselves in the moments when we feel like underdeserved? So, like if you only know to eat, or if that's your big trigger, the first thing you have to figure out is where in life am I pro do I feel like I deserve better. And a lot of times it's with yourself. It's like you are accomplishing things. You're doing a good job. You're meeting goals. Like there's these things that you do really well in life, but you don't tell yourself that often enough. And I will tell you, the people who are the most guilty of not having acknowledgement for themselves are the people who say these words. Nobody supports me. I don't have, my boss never tells me I do a good job. Like only if my partner would say these things. People who say those things almost always comfort eat. Or I deserve it, eat. And that is because they are looking outside of themselves for their own recognition. I will be really honest with you. I used to so much crave other people's accolades and stuff. I mean, I lived for it, I worked so hard to get it. I cried for my dad's attention. I just wanted him to be proud. It's not even in my dad to be proud of me. I don't even know if my dad's proud of anything, honestly, other than I think he follows Alabama. He's probably proud of that team. I mean, it's just not in him. He's not a mean man, but I grew up desperately wanting people to tell me I'm okay. And I spent most of my life trying so hard to get people to tell me I'm okay. And I have won things. I have been the best at things. Like I have had so much success. And it wasn't until like about the last 3 or 4 years when I really decided I was done trying to get other people to tell me I was good enough. I was going to have to, I was just like, I've got to stop trying over there so hard because I don't think I'm good enough. And if I don't think I'm good enough, it will never matter what they say. And I promise you that that's the truth. How many of you actually have people in your life that will tell you you're such a good mom. And you'll say like, well, you didn't hear what I said the other day to my kids. Or they'll say, you're so beautiful. And you'll be like, well, I still got like 20 pounds to lose. Or your boss will tell you, you did a great job. And all you do is go back to your desk and sweat that you're going to screw up the next time. That is how we know that other people can give you the words and the phrases that you most want to hear, but it never works. You might feel good in the moment, but it's very fleeting because if you're craving it, it doesn't mean you need other people to tell you things. It means you're missing the mark somewhere internally. You're not doing it enough. Like, I used to just want Chris to always tell me how beautiful I am. Chris is not one to tell me dick. Seriously, the man loves me to death, does a lot of things for me, but he is never going to be like, oh my God, you look so good. Or, I really love the way you're doing your hair. Like, he's not going to tell me, like, you're just so beautiful. Like, he's just not going to sit around and do that. And if I needed him to do that, I would feel terrible all the time. And so when I decided, you know what? There's only one person in the world I need to look good to, and that is the person looking in the mirror. And I started making myself like find my features that I loved, admiring myself. Like, I used to want people to admire me. And I was like, you don't even admire you. When you look in the mirror, all you do is tear yourself apart. Why do you want all these other people to admire you when you're not doing it? And that's what I started realizing. And like, if I wanted to feel smart, I didn't, people were telling me I was smart. And I was like, yeah, well, I didn't go to college. I had to start like spending time working. And then at the end of the day, going like, oh my God, you're so smart. I had to start getting excited about things that I was doing. Like, if I taught a concept, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so smart. Like, what an on-fire call. I had to start doing that stuff. Now I believe this shit. I did not believe any of it in the beginning. But that is like the antidote to deserve it eating, is you have to figure out what is it that I think I really deserve. Like, if I got what I thought I needed out of my accomplishments, like, what would be the words, the phrases, the things I'd be hearing? What are the feelings I would feel? And then you got to look at that and be like, am I even telling myself this stuff? Because you do know what you want. You just got to take time to like write it down. And then you have to take time to start actively telling yourself that, even if it feels gross, if you would like to see those things start going away. And then the last thing, the last one of the big reasons why we eat at night is what we call transition and second wind eating. This is where we're eating to avoid feeling lazy. We're eating to get a moment of relief before what we call second shift beginning. So this happens a lot with the teachers or shift workers. It's like, like you finish up one job and you're coming home and you're basically starting another one. Especially like if you're like, say you're trying to build a business. I know I have a lot of women in here who are trying to build a side business just naturally because they follow me. This would be you. You would do second wind eating, or maybe you have a job that requires you also to do a lot of work at night. So you come home and then you've got this like little bit of a lull, and then second shift has to start. So you either got to start working on your side hustle. You've got small kids. So now we got to start homework. We got to start baths. We got to start all this other shit. You've got like, that's the only time you have to clean house or do whatever. A lot of people do what we call that transitional eating. So when you're doing that, I just want you to understand that most of the time in the transition, you're most needing a break. Like second wind eating signals you need a reset. And so you're eating to give yourself a reset. The eating is because you probably think you need to just get busy. You immediately go from one hard day to trying to kickstart the next hard day without giving yourself a buffer. So food becomes the buffer. And it's not because of the food. It's because for most of us, if we know we've got like all these things to do at night, it's natural for our brain to come home and think we need to just get started. And if we don't get started, all our brain does is dread doing it or tell us we have to or tell us you should get started right now because if you don't, you're just being lazy. That transitional conversation is what has to change because it's that conversation between the two is what's jacking you up and making you go eat to get relief. Because who wants to feel lazy, unproductive, guilty, selfish? Nobody. So we eat to avoid those emotions because when we're eating, we're not focused on that. Instead of what the simple solution is, rather than eating to avoid those emotions, we're going to reconstruct the conversation because it's bullshit. You are not being lazy. Like, here's what I know. Anybody that works a full day, whether you're working a full day at a job or you're working a full day with kids, because like for me, I used to like transition eat. When Chris first got home, he'd mess with Logan and I would just have like a snack or two. Then we would eat dinner. During that middle part, I just thought I should be cooking dinner. I just thought I should be doing all these things. And it's that conversation I had to redefine. It's like, Corinne, you were on all day for another human. All day. It's normal. I don't care if he has been at work all day. We both have been stressed all day long. For me, I had to tell myself, this is not a weakness. He can come home some days and be on while you take a break. Just like there's some days he's going to come home and need a break and you can keep going. When I had that conversation with myself that this is not a bad thing, then the days when I need to keep going, it didn't feel oppressive. It felt like, today I got this. Like, Chris needs it more than me today. That was very different than I shouldn't ask for this. I should feel guilty for this. So that is the other thing, is the transition and second eating. So rebel eating, comfort eating, deserve it eating, secret eating, and transition eating. Those are the big reasons why nighttime meltdowns tend to happen. Here's my quick and best advice. We're going to go through this really fast. First, I want you to attempt to close the kitchen, not from punishing yourself. And I do not want people sitting there doing this through willpower, but I want you to tell yourself, I'm going to have a mental boundary of like the kitchen is closed. Because there's really nothing wrong with eating after dinner. If you're actually hungry, eat. But I want you to just have a mental construct of like, if I think I'm really doing this emotional style eating, I want to start closing my kitchen. And instead of eating, I want to figure out why I need it so much. So the second step is really just going through and saying, I'm going to watch myself. What are my emotional needs? Now, sometimes, if you heard this and you already know what they are, then what I would do is I would be heading over to Ask Coach and be like, oh my gosh, mind blown on Corinne's call. I know what my stuff is. Here it is. I want to get to work on it. And I'm going to try closing the kitchen each night as I start meeting some of these needs, which means you'll close the kitchen. And some nights you'll meet your emotional needs or you'll be able to not eat because you understand things better. Great. There'll be some nights it won't work. Your emotional needs will be so high that you'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't do it tonight. I'm just going to eat. I implore you to not beat yourself up over that. Have understanding and just say like, all right, I am going to eat, but I know this is because this need did not get met today, or I know this is the reason why I'm going to eat slowly. So that I'm going to remind myself, I am meeting that need through food tonight, but I know what the real need is. And I will promise myself that I'm going to be working on learning how to meet my truest needs because that's what I want for my long-term future. I want you to have that compassionate conversation with yourself. And if you are nighttime meeting and these are one of your things, this is not going to be a drive-by and ask coaches. This is going to be continually working on it. But and that's the third step is you're figuring out your truest needs by utilizing the discovery worksheet, trying to close the kitchen every night, and using ask coaches. But this is the thing I want all of you to walk away with. This is not something that we solve in one call. You don't just listen to this and be like, I should be perfect. This opens up the door to see what's really been going on. Now it's your job to take a step through the door and work on what's really going on. And then I just want all of you to imagine for a moment. 6 months from now, I want you to think about which one of these you identified with. In 6 months from now, we're not going to picture you not nighttime eating anymore. I want you to imagine your life in 6 months from now that you're not eating anymore because you solved the problem. You didn't end the eating, you solved the root problem. Now, what's different in your life? I don't want to hear weight loss because, yeah, if you're not nighttime eating, you'll probably lose some weight and stuff. I want to know what is different about your life. When you have solved your own self-gratification. Like you now no longer rely on other people to support you because you're so self-supported. What is it like in 6 months when you have nights, you have help, and you don't feel guilty? What is it like in 6 months from now when you are sitting around taking a much needed break and some nights helping out your partner because you actually have enough energy to where the load isn't just all on you. Now both of y'all are splitting it. Like, I just want you to be thinking about that because we get so caught up in thinking that we have to just, well, I just need to stop the eating at night. No, we got to stop the bleeding that is causing you to need to eat at night. That's what we want to work on. All right, everybody. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all this Sunday. Bye, y'all.